But I'm all for exorcism, nonetheless. Give it a shot. Worst case scenario, the poor guy will only have to towel off the holy water. Big deal, no harm done. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, Tommy, I was just wondering who these students practice on. I'm thinking...
Cadavers.
Well, that's one possibility. I was thinking that, you know, if you're married to somebody who's in cosmetology or hairdressing school, you're going to get your hair done about 100 different ways before the classes are all done. And if you're married, say, to somebody who's training to be an army medic, you're going to have every kind of bandage put on and splint and cast and have your blood drawn from every different vein. It's just, you know, part of being married. So I wonder if the same applies when you're in this school.
The thing is, it's so unintrusive, really. I don't know if you've ever witnessed an exorcism or not, but they're generally starting out just demanding that the demon leave in the name of Jesus Christ, and maybe they sprinkle a little holy water. But it's really just a speech given, just to get the hell out of here kind of a deal. And if the thing doesn't go willingly, there are prayers said. But I mean, they're not going in with scalpels or anything.
No, and
so if you want to practice on somebody, I mean,
it shouldn't be that hard. It's just kind of like reading them their rights or something. You read it off of a card, and
well, take your average gal over at the University of Minnesota in the art department who's agreeing to pose nude for the people who are painting. She's making, I hear, $20 an hour.
Okay.
Well, for that money, I certainly would practice. I would be a crash test dummy for exorcists, because that seems like a lot more trouble. Taking off your clothes in a room full of strangers than just having someone sit in front of you and ask that the demon leave you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the power of Christ commands you. Yeah. I'm hearing it. You can probably even have your iPod on listening to music.
And the cool thing is, every now and then you can get up and slug the guy and just say, sorry, I just thought you wanted this to be real.
Well, you know, back to the spouse thing, it's really inconvenient sometimes. And I wonder if, you know, can it wait till after the ball game is over during the playoffs? Or do you have to do it right now?
I tell you what would be fun is to occasionally break wind and then say, that wasn't me.
that
wasn't me. That was Satan.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good dilemma. You know, maybe they even have an announcement in church on Sunday. We want to remind everyone of the spaghetti dinner Wednesday night in the basement. And
in the back room, a real live exorcism.
And as you all know, Susie is taking this class on exorcism. So if any of you have demons that you'd like to have expelled from your persons, meet her in the choir loft after services.
And then you have all these daddies in there going, get up there, Billy. Get up there. You know there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, all the teenage boys would show up and go, blah, 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 blah.
And it all seems funny until a real demon actually does emerge, and then no one's laughing anymore. I had a relative who performed an exorcism on somebody and said the guy went up about a foot and a half in the air when the demon left.
Well, that's the sort of thing I'll believe when I see it, and maybe not even then.
You have to read the books by, which Scott Peck is it? M. Scott Peck? F.
Yeah.
Scott Peck? No, he was a non-believer who was a psychiatrist, and fascinating stuff, a lot of interesting stuff there. I wouldn't write it off. I don't have any trouble believing that, A, there's something going on there that no psychiatry, no psychology, no medical science at all can treat, that can be treated spiritually. I have no doubt believing that. In fact, that is something that's been proven over and over again throughout the centuries. Now, how you want to define what's occurring there, that's something else. But I have no doubt, and I think I'm on pretty solid ground here, that there are problems that science has not been able to address, that those spiritual practitioners with some knowledge in this area have, and you can come up with what you think's occurring there, but the people do improve under the care of these these folks who don't have any medical, scientific, or psychiatry training whatsoever.
Yeah, well, placebos can work, too.
But it's not happening in those percentages, you know. I mean, it's not, the placebo effect is generally a certain percentage, and it's not like that. Actually, the placebo effect could be used to, you could argue that those people who quit drinking after going to AA are only being helped by the placebo effect, because about 30% of those people who go to AA the first time actually stop drinking, which is about a placebo effect percentage. But I would read more about it before making any judgments on it. There's a lot of interesting stuff out there, and not all of it fits into the nice little scientific manuals.
Do you think that the demons that get cast out by a placebo get teased by their friends? you fell for the placebo, didn't you?
Now, what's really sad is you're going to be the next one possessed. Right now, the demons are saying, this guy ain't taking us seriously. Let's get busy. And, of course, you'll spend the rest of your life treating it as a psychiatric illness, eventually get diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, when all the while you could just go to the good padre.
Or maybe have some bloodletting done.
Hey,
maybe I better take the phone number of that school. Just, you know, keep on the refrigerator. Just
you know,
in case.
Sometime if you really want to have the hair on the back of your neck stand up, we can leave the Catholic Church altogether and we can move into the Native American world and listen to the very similar stories they have of possession. And I have a guy who I could put on the air who would tell real-life stories that would leave you unable to come up with any other possible explanation for what was witnessed.
Well, what people report is not always what would have been recorded if one were actually there.
I've been there.
Well,
you just see what you already have your belief set, so you're going to make anything that is said or anything that occurs fit into that.
Well,
you've already closed yourself off, and thus you're going to go through the rest of your life saying, well, you know, people can say things, because you already got this little wall built around you, which is really no different than the wall one would build around if you were a fundamentalist. You leave no opening for any of this, and consequently...
Well, that's not true,
like
Tommy.
That's how you come across, and it's unfortunate, because if you are going to be that way, really, you're kind of already set for life. You're done.
It's just that I am only going to be persuaded by certain kinds of evidence, things that are reproducible and
if you
objective.
If you go by reproducible and objective, then you are only married to the five senses. And I could argue, why do you trust your five senses? According to physics, there is no reason in the world that the five senses should be trusted any more than the experiences that happen on an interior level with people who have mystical experiences or peak experiences or experiences of the divine, which cannot be worked in the laboratory. All you have to rely on is five senses that are notorious for passing along false information. So I would argue what you rely on is worthless to me in terms of delivering truth.
Yeah, there's no question that humans are almost endlessly capable of self-deception.
I don't even mean self-deception. I mean the five senses themselves do not, there is no reason to believe they pass along reality. They only pass along what the five senses are designed to pick up. But there's no reason to believe what they're seeing, hearing, feeling, touching is real. Why should they? What possible proof is there that anything the five senses can pick up is what is really real? That's where science is flawed. Science thinks that it has it made because it can reproduce these things, but only for the five senses, not the other senses that human beings have found to have. People have had experiences where they come back to this reality, the reality you and I are in, and have looked around and said, all this time I thought this was real, and now I realize this is the illusion. Where I was real.
It seems like you're just being nihilistic about it if you can't trust the five senses, and I would say equally you can't trust these supposedly spiritually sensed things that are intangible, then you can't rely on anything.
What I'm saying is you can't trust the five senses any more than you can these other senses. You cannot. They're capable of seeing exterior things. I'm able to look over there and see a tree. I'm able to hear a motorboat going by. And then there are the interior senses, which pick up things like which we have been able to document, which is psychic experiences, experiences of the divine, experiences of mystical connections with planes that are not known to the temporal world, and those things are just as real. Those are also senses that we have.
Yeah. The difference, though, is whether they are shared experiences. That is, if there's a tree over there and you get 100 people selected at random and say, what is that object there? And you know, virtually all of them will say that it's a tree. But if you ask them whether they're sensing the presence of Mary, they're not going to have anywhere near that kind of unity. That doesn't make it infallible.
All the major traditions all over the world have virtually the same thing to say about the mystical experience. When you talk about people whose experience is actually touching the divine, not hearing about it through someone else, their report is almost universally the same.
Yeah, but those are self-selected. I'm saying if you
no, they're not. They're not self-selected.
They
no, they're not.
You're.
Well, how are they self-selected?
Well, because you're only hearing the people who are saying that they have had such experiences.
Well, you're only talking to people who say they see the tree.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you take at random 100 people, you're going to get a very high degree of agreement on whether there's a tree there or not. But if you say that there is some invisible apparition happening at that time and there's 100 people in the vicinity, it's not very likely that you're going to have that kind of agreement. There's always going to be some crank who doesn't see the tree or who sees five trees. But you're going
for thousands and thousands of years, you could have gotten thousands and thousands of people to believe that when they looked at a tabletop, it was a solid piece of wood, just sitting there, still and solid. We now know for a fact that A, it's not sitting there still, and B, it's not solid. And yet all those people will continue to look at it and say, sure it is.
Well, if you believe it isn't solid, you'll let me hit you over the head with it?
Sure you can.
If it's not solid, if it really is just mostly empty space, which in one real sense it is.
One real sense? Are you saying there are other senses?
Yeah, of course there are.
There's what are the other senses?
In which you can put it between two sawhorses and sit on it.
Yeah. How is it solid?
Well, it's solid because there are chemical bonds between the atoms that have enough force between them that they don't yield to the weight of a person sitting on it.
There's more empty space in it than there is solid space, and the thing is continually vibrating. What physics is showing that almost everything, there is nothing solid at all.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean you can't use it as a door.
That wasn't the question. The question asked to the people is that solid? It's not. But they thought it was because what did they rely on? Their senses.
Of course it's solid.
It is not solid.
It is not solid.
It's an illusion.
Here's another illusion. If I hit you over the head with it, it's just an illusion that hurts?
Here's another illusion. The sky is blue. The sky is not blue. The grass is green. The grass is not green. There are no colors. Colors are manufactured in the human eye. That's also been proven.
You are relying on senses that are creating
a reality that, to me, is phony. And so what I'm telling you is the world you think is out there isn't out there. The world that you believe in isn't a world at all. That's why when you start saying, well, this is silly, but what I believe in isn't, I say, no, what you believe in is utterly silly to me. And these are the reasons why.
Okay.
Your world that you live in, to me, is a phony little fabrication of your mind and your senses that I choose not to believe in based on the evidence I've come across. But you can continue to believe in it. I'm just saying that you've closed yourself off and accepted a little world that I don't happen to think exists.
Do you agree that the scientific method has been more successful than non-scientific methods in improving the human lot?
No.
No.
Absolutely not, because science has done nothing for morality. Science is not about morality. Morality is not improved by science. And since I believe that's how you improve the human condition most dramatically, I will never agree that science has done more to improve the human condition. But I've come to the end of my time.
Yes.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Good talking to you.